Hey dudes, two quick things before we get into the show. Go grab tickets to my Melbourne International Comedy Festival show, 5th of April to the 20th of April. You can get tickets at alexwhitecomedy.com or follow me on Instagram, Whitebait Online there, and grab some tickets. Going to be a lot of fun. And secondly, subscribe to the Patreon. We love doing the Patreon. It's so much fun. We've got some crazy ideas cooking up. Yeah, you're going to absolutely love it. So get on board, grab the Patreon subscription online and through Spotify or through Patreon, $5 a month, and you get two bonus episodes, and they're an absolute blast. Thanks, team. Enjoy the episode. Trying to make a living, working hard to get to
heaven where I come from. Oh, yeah. Hello and welcome along to the community notice board.
I had a V in the car to the Peroni.
There are going to be some six-letter words flying about.
That's a weird fucking mix.
All right, let's do it. Hello, welcome to another episode of Community Notice Board, a podcast about suburbs we grew up in, local landmarks, hometown heroes, and coming-of-age tales. Got a very special guest, returning champion back in the studio. Rowan Arneal is here talk all about Texas Forever, Austin.
Awesome.
How are you, man?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm chilling.
You doing all right?
And how long were you in Austin, brother?
Oh, on the books. On the books, about 13 months, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe 12. And then I worked illegally for like a month.
Like you just overstayed your welcome?
I was on a tourist visa, but yeah. I was getting a little bit of Venmo in the back pocket.
Oh, okay. That's a bit cheeky.
Hanging out in like,
and then I was planning to go back and do that for 3 months, and then COVID happened.
Fuck.
So what inspired the move? So give us the time frame. You 2018, then you go over.
Yeah, 2018, I guess. I don't know. You can just only get a long visa once. You need to have finished long term study. Mm. And I was like, this degree is finally going to come in handy. Nice.
So so you got a 12-month visa, and that, because I didn't know this, because I think like Fletch did that too, right? Yeah. And I'm like, when I was growing up, and I was like, oh, you could go to the UK with that 2-year visa and Canada, but I did not know you could that the US did anything.
I'm finding out about it right now.
Bush gave it to us because we followed them into Iraq.
Oh, okay.
And they said it was a mistake. Was
Well, it was the right thing to do anyway. So you know what I mean? It's like a bonus. Yeah.
He's right twice.
It was like us and Poland with the UK, US, Australia, and Poland. And you know what I mean? You know, just notoriously idiot country. You know, like, hold on, where with who was saying yes? Canada said no. Like no one else said yes to Iraq, France.
The three leaders that were still at the bar at 4 in the morning.
I'll
follow you anywhere.
Are you gonna do it, man? If you do it, I'll do it. I'll go to Iraq.
Put my details in a wicker.
They're like, oh, I promise we go. That's wild. So then, yeah. So was that a plan for a while? Like, or were you gonna go? Did you ever grow up thinking maybe I'll do the UK for two years, Canada 2 years, or was it just the US?
I've never had a UK bug. Hey, yeah. No. I don't give a fuck.
Why Austin? Was Austin on the mind?
It's like kind of cheap. My girlfriend at the time definitely. I knew that she wouldn't want to go to New York, and then I looked at like rental prices, and I was like, holy fucking shit! Like, there's just no way. And I went there with some money as well, but I like traveled around first and spent it all, which was actually in hindsight a pretty bad idea. Rocking up to a city being like, down to my last $800. What's up? I saw every national park. Fuck.
Oh, beautiful. Unreal.
Have you seen in like the New York thing? It's like one bedroom apartment for, and you got to do the maths of like month and all that because they do it in monthly. But then it's like,
it's pretty much Sydney.
But the rooms are like,
is it?
The rooms are like a broom closet. Yeah, there's no minimum standard.
Well, I remember when I went to visit New York and Fletcher was there, like the whole time he was like, rooms flooded again. And I was like, what do you mean? Like a little bit of water? And he's like, up to like your ankles at least.
Yeah.
And then it would freeze and there'd just be like chunks of ice in your clothes.
Yeah.
It's fucking chaos. Like,
back to the bar.
It was great. Fletcher became mine and my wife's son that trip. We just got married. It was our honeymoon. And we were like, all right, should we go to like a restaurant today? And Fletch would be like, what are we doing? Like, well, I guess we're taking Fletcher to Six Flags today.
When I went to New York,
and it was the best.
When Fletch was there, I came by and I was there for one night. And Fletcher's like, you know, we caught up and he's like, yeah, I'm not drinking for a bit. He had a beer.
He means like a couple of hours.
Literally. And I just feel like such a cunt. I'm like, come on, man, have a beer with me. He's like, I had a legit reason. And then he watched me have two beers. Okay. And then he's like, all right, I'll have a fucking beer. But it's like,
he didn't drink again for 2 months.
Yeah, probably. But like, you know, people say New York would chew up and spit you out. I was always like, oh, whatever, you know. But then I went there for a week. Just on holidays, and I'm like, this would destroy anyone.
Yeah.
Like, small little room, small little place, and it's like you say, the weather is all crazy, and then it's so much fucking money, and the work would just be horrendous, but yeah.
I was like, New York will destroy this relationship.
Yeah.
We should go on a long trip.
Sure.
And then Austin will destroy this relationship.
let's put let's a delay on.
Let's have fun while we can. Where did you travel around to? Did you get a whip around everywhere?
I did, like, Chicago, and then I went to Seattle and rented a van and came all the way down, like, through the national parks, Yosemite and Yellowstone.
Sick.
Yeah, nothing really funny happened there, but it was very nice. It
sounds very wholesome.
It changed my life. Yeah. I meditated a lot. It was nice. Yeah.
That's cool. Good. Did you, but the whole time you were like going to go to, like, it wasn't like you just found Austin and said, stay here. It's like, that was the plan.
There was that Daniel Jackson, I talked to him about it. He was from Austin.
Yeah.
And just, there was it was like kind of, I figured out that, like, it looked, you can swim there. It's hot and there are places to swim.
Oh, it's like a river
There's a river, there's watering holes, there's the Colorado River that you can drive to and shit. Yeah. And those photos looked nice enough that I was like, okay.
Because it was a bit of a, I think it's like a, I don't know when it happened, but like, it became like this big, like, post Joe Rogan moving there. But there's like a thing.
There's
right?
a massive scene there now.
But I guess it wasn't like obviously the hit place to go, right?
There was like a website that just had all the mics and shows. And I was like, well, there's fucking five a night. Like,
yeah, it's a big enough scene.
I think we're good to go.
I'm going to have my fill after four open mics a night. Yeah. But it seems like, because when did you go there, Kurt? Because you always talked about Austin.
Yeah, I've been twice. I went for my 29th birthday, and then it was another location on my honeymoon. Fletch didn't come with us. But I think that was before Fletch. Otherwise, he might have come with us. But it was so sick. But it's also like, you know, like when you're traveling and you see awesome things, and like obviously you saw the national parks. Like sometimes I found out like what a simpleton I am, because like one of my favorite bar experiences in Austin was like the day after my 29th birthday, we went out, but I went home relatively early and my friends went and really fucking tied one on, and they did not get up till like 4 p.m. So I decided to just explore Austin for a bit on foot. Austin's like kind of hard to explore on foot, like if you get out of 6th Street, which I did. But I went to like a taco truck, got that, and then I went to this bar on West 6th Street and I was the only person in there. And it was like cool, and it had those Mister things in it, which rocks. And I was just like, just like a Lone Star for me. I had one of them, had two of them, had three of them, and I was out in the smoking area. And by the fourth one, I got up, and the guy looked at me, and he cracked a can of Lone Star and slid it all the way across the bar. I caught, and I was like, this is the best moment of my entire life. Sat down and drank it, and I was like, text my mates, be like, you got to get it. They're sliding drinks to me.
That's such
and then
a
it was
just
like, oh, man, I'm a fucking idiot.
Because all your mates went out and partied all night, and you're like, early bird gets the worm, boys. You know what I mean? Like, everyone.
Yeah, they had to queue for their
my
beers.
My story
like,
started
idiots.
At 11 a.m. at this
they
bar.
Were, they ended up at like some person's ranch, like drinking with someone. There was very embarrassing footage of me on a mechanical bull on my 29th birthday. And it's like, I'd never ridden a mechanical bull before.
Really?
I didn't realize you had. Yeah.
What?
You never dabbled?
Yeah.
You didn't do it in primary school?
Growing up in Kellyville, I'd never ridden it. I didn't realize you had to do it one hand and stuff. So, like, I did it with two, got called a bunch of slurs very quickly, like, on the hand. And then it was like, really just like
and
jelly.
The slurs kept coming.
And it was really just like jelly on a plate, like Wobble City fell off with intensity.
I got a video of Tone. My mate Tone on a mechanical bull, and I don't know if it always does this, but it starts and just like it rears back to like get ready. It just like and he just slides right off, like it doesn't even start yet. He just goes straight on his ass. But yeah, you love it as much as Rowan.
But you'd know it from like Richard Linklater movies and shit, right?
Yeah.
It's quite pretty.
Yeah, it's very pretty. It's like good bar and good food. Like,
yeah, it's just like a small city. Like I liked it because it's such a small city.
Yeah.
I grew up in Sydney. So it's like if you meet someone that you're like, oh, this dude's rules, if he lives like nearly anywhere but you live, it's like fucking forget about it.
Yeah.
If you live in Cronulla, like it's over.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But there, it's like everywhere's 15 minutes away.
Oh, so okay.
Just so easy to make friends because you're like, oh yeah, you guys are over there. You just can dart over. Like,
cool. So it's not as big as Sydney. I thought it was
not even fucking close. Really? Like, it's not as big as the inner west, it feels like.
Wow. Okay.
It's like the inner west with highways.
Wow.
Like it's like south, who gives a fuck? Like it doesn't matter. West is a shithole. Mm-hmm. If you just hang out east and north, then it's just so nice. And the hospitality is like crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They don't give a fuck. Like, and yeah, how's this? Just be welcoming and have your bar be kind of nice and people will stay there.
It is crazy how Americans, like every city I've ever been to in America, there's like 10 bars that I'm like, if this was in Sydney, I would come every fucking day.
Yeah.
Like there's no, I don't know, like I know what it is, but it's like, it's funny how they can't do it. I don't know what, it must be like how expensive beer is to sell or whatever, but like...
That's weird because when I go, I look at them, I go, if there were just 2 6-foot-4 Tongan guys punching me in the head right now, this would be a perfect spot. Yeah.
If we could have a $28 schnitzel with shitty chips and a bit of balsamic. But yeah, every bar has sick food.
Were you working in hospo? What were you doing for job there?
Oh, I worked at a, like a the grandson of Coors. This was my first job. I had heaps of jobs. Yeah,
sounds like a brag, but it's not. It's the opposite of a brag. Yeah. Man, I had heaps,
awesome. And I'll tell you them all the way through. And the first one was the best, and they got so much worse.
Yeah.
First one was a wave pool. The grandson of Coors got his like big check or whatever.
Yeah.
You do your thing.
It was your job to bomb in the pool and create the waves.
It was just to just make sure rich people don't drown.
Yes.
That using the wave pool. It's like he tried to make Kelly Slater's wave pool, but made a worse one.
Mm.
And then that eventually closed down. That was the sickest job ever. You just cruise and secretly listen to podcasts and then be in the water with the people.
Yeah.
And then that closed down. Like while I was at work, they were like, there's no more money. And we all got drunk at the brewery there with the rest of the beer. And then they asked us to leave. And we're like, dude, this is so fucking dog. Yeah. He fired us. And this beer will go old.
Mm. And your granddad's beer.
Come on, brother. Like, I was like, we're going to drink all the beer in the brewery. Because
yeah.
this isn't going anywhere. They don't sell it anywhere else.
Tip it out.
We got kicked out there. And then I got a job as a bar back. And that was chill. But then that was probably one of the best jobs I ever had, actually. I had no responsibilities and I just walked around fucking with people like nonstop. Like someone would be like watching the NFL on their phone, like doing cutlery, just polishing cutlery. Then I'd be watching them just hitting a weed pen, just being like, all right, soon. And then you'd go to the bathroom. I'd go in there and like turn it to gay porn, then go back. Bro, what the fuck?
What's the score, man? Oh, okay. Jesus Christ.
I was just setting little traps like that around.
Act like it's a subtle trap. You know what I mean? It's some tripwire. No, it's obvious, Frank. Oh, that rules.
That's great.
Oh, so were you like, is there a lot of Aussies there, or are you a bit of a like unique creature?
I didn't meet any other Australians.
Oh, that's a dream.
Which is great, right? That would be like you said, you didn't have the London bug. For me, I didn't really either, but I would hate to go there and then it's just like all Aussies.
Yeah.
And everyone's just sick of Australians. You know what I mean? Like it's you know, you want to be a little bit.
It's also such an easy trap to fall into. Like you're there being like, well, I don't want to meet Australians, but then you know, you meet a couple of people and you're just like, yeah. All right.
It's got to walk about.
We know that we know the exact same two places in Sydney. Let's go.
Yeah. Now that would be a huge fucking not. Yeah,
I would have loved for them to have had some Australians come in before me, so there was just perhaps a little bit more knowledge of my country. By the end of being there, because you just get asked the most annoying questions. I just absolutely turn away. If you want to talk to me about the flight, I will turn my head.
Like, just like, all right, give me a phone. I'm loading gay porn onto it.
I had when I was in the US, this like what woman I was checking in at some hotel somewhere in like California, and she was this old woman. And she was like, I was talking for a bit, and then she was like, Australian? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, I'm starting to be able to tell the difference between you two. I'm like, Australians and New Zealand, like Kiwis? And she's like, no, and the English. Like, that's how, you know what I mean? She can't tell it. Yeah. It took her half an hour of conversation to be like, I think you're Australian. That's how like a little
I was getting German, South African, like everywhere except that's Australia. That's insulting.
Imagine getting called a South African overseas. I'd be like, brutal. I'd rather be called a German.
I went into the toilet, I'm like recording my voice on my phone.
Black people like Australians, which is cool. It's been some popular culture that's kind of gone through their community. So every time I'd be hung over at Popeyes, there'd just be these like middle-aged black women being like, Australia, oh my God. And you'd be like, yes, yes.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
And they'd just be like, it's on my list. I'm going to go there one day. You just have to resist the urge to be like, you earn $7 now. You're never getting that is off the table.
You go and see how much it is for Hungry Jack's burger in Australia.
And then every like kind of person that actually could go is like, oh, those animals, and you're like, just shut up, fuck off.
Yeah,
that whole thing is weird. I get it. Maybe we have more snakes or whatever, but America has just as much. They have bears.
Bears who walk in their house.
Bears are so scary.
Yeah, mountain lions and shit.
They're, like we don't. Yeah, it's like all the big animals here are just stupid.
And Texas has snakes. Like, they have scorpions, rattlesnakes.
Sharks, I'll give them sharks. They have sharks too, but, like, great whites are pretty scary. But it's like you don't have to go in the water if you don't want. Yeah. And they're not like they're eating everybody. But, like, yeah, bears and shit fucking walking into your house and you just like got to sit there while they go through all your shit. It's so weird.
If I ever had to go camping where they're like, you got to tie all your food up and your toothpaste, by the way.
Yeah.
Also that... up a bag, up a tree, I'd be like, I guess I'm not going camping.
Yeah, that's way worse.
If I can't fall asleep with like drunken shit everywhere I clean up in the morning.
Yeah.
Who gives it? Why would I want to? That's so scary.
It's way scarier than a fucking snake bite or whatever.
Oh, 100%.
Crocodiles are scary, but it's like, who's...
Yeah, avoid far north Queensland. Yeah.
That's right. They're not swimming down the fucking Parramatta River or something. Like, you know, like they're away. Yeah, yeah. I never got that either. It's weird. But... yeah, like, so you were pretty fish out of water. And so your girlfriend was there the whole time with you?
We were living separately for, I'd say, we were living separately and not talking for maybe, like, I'd say, like, a third of the way in. So that was bad. that was my first house. And then we broke up and I had to get a new job. And I had to get a new place to stay, but I had like no fucking money. So I was like sleeping in like this empty room in our house that this like really unhealthy guy had been living in for a while and had just left on his old mattress with like my bag and my laptop next to me. And I'd wake up heaps hungover and I could just hear someone outside. So I wouldn't leave the room because that was the living room. Because he was a musician, but mainly a gamer. it did not smell like a musician's room, I'll say that much. But he'd been given a bunch of fireball shots, those shooters, and you get Coke in America for free, like all soft drink for free and stuff. So I'd just been getting Cokes at bars with my friends and filling up with fireball and then waking up with like the most insane headache and being like, all right, time to sort out my life. And then I got a new place up north. And my car had broken down. That was still at the old house. So that was just like in the driveway of the place I was no longer renting, but she was still living in because we just paid rent. So I was like, all right, this is yours now. And I was living on top of a bunk bed. It was like a 4-bedroom unit, but I guess it had like 9 people in it or something. Yeah. I was paying $425 a month. Oof. And the guy who I was living beneath, I didn't know his name, and he would fall asleep in his jeans every night with like a blue light, like the blue light from his computer screen just like in his face, and he'd just be asleep like that, and he'd have like power bars and shit all over his bed. Oh, and in the morning I'd reach down and like gingerly grab a power bar and like bring it up to my head.
Like, yes, like the claw machine.
I got it. Quickly chuck some gay porn in the laptop as well. Like, wake up to that.
And then I was working at a overnight bread. I was working at a brewery and a bakery. There was like same kind of chain. Well, like the other half of the last place I was working at, but I was packing bread overnight. So like for orders. So
this company makes bread and liquid bread.
Bread and liquid bread. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
So I'd start at 10 o'clock at night.
Fucking hell.
So I'd do some shows before then, and then I'd be like, all right. Off I go to work.
Yeah.
And then it was me, this white guy had just gotten out of prison. There was a he was a pretty interesting guy. He was a non-violent offender.
Oh no, is that code for
No, bad? He was chill. He was chill. Okay. He was chill. He was just an electrician that stole energy off the government for his house while he was an alcoholic. He's like, oh, put the bulbs in, bro. Fuck it. And then just got clipped up so hard.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
And then had like a heart problem in prison, but they just thought he was faking it. And then on his last day, America's so hardcore. On his last day, because if he gets out and he dies immediately, then they can get sued. So he's just like fucking up with his heart for like a month. And then they just did surgery the day he before he went out. Because if he died, they wouldn't have had to do the surgery. He just had a heart attack in prison. Oh, but if he has a heart attack after prison, then his family can sue hell hard, apparently. Yeah. So then he just went into, like, insane heart surgery and just, like, then they just, like, dropped him at a bus stop. And he was like, fuck.
Oh, my God.
And, like, used some woman's phone on the Greyhound to be like, hey, buddy, I'm going to get to the bus stop. Can you hit the bus stop in Austin? And it was just on a mate's couch.
Recovering from heart surgery.
Going to the DMV, being like, showing them his chest, being like, I can't work, I swear.
Oh, my God.
Right.
So it was him. And road. Then there was a dude, a black dude that, like, didn't really talk much, but he worked daytime shift at doing hospital, no, doing maintenance at a hotel, and then night job worked this. And I guess between 4 and 10 was where he slept and lived and did all that stuff.
it's just so brutal. Like, it's still so ruthless. Over
probably
there.
On this, 40 grand a year, like adding up.
This was $15. They were like a really good company because they paid $15 US minimum wage. Or maybe it was like $13.50 or something then, and they hired ex-cons. So they were like the good guys, and it was still like hardcore. Mm-hmm. Right? And then eventually I just like got day drunk during South by Southwest and was like, I'm not going in. And then was like, oh, I don't think I'm ever going back there again. That's the most depressing place ever. And then I worked at, I think I was playing like fake pokies. They're not fake pokies over there. They're like scratching things where you like win vouchers or whatever. I was playing that on my new girlfriend's couch and she was like, maybe you could just get a different job. And I was like, whoa, true.
Ideas, girl.
Yeah, you're wise. And yeah. There's a reason I liked you. Yeah.
Didn't realize I was dating an educator.
Yeah. So then I got
and the jobs are like you're going on Gumtree. Like, how is the job search process? Like, is it?
I forgot.
Pretty informal.
Well, the surf park. I knew there was a surf park there, so I just emailed them. It was like, fuck off. And then everyone was like, oh, you just got the job because we're Australian. And I was like, oh, and I can like swim better than all of you. And then one day we had to do like a training thing where we like raced down the pool and I just like beat everyone by 100 meters and was fat and was like, yeah, fuck. But then my new job, I was cooking in like, it was like this 300 seater bougie brunch bar. And it was just me and, there was a head chef and then, but she was in and out and then it was just me and El Salvadorian and Mexican dudes that didn't really speak English. They were in the like serve kitchen and then there was a prep kitchen, which was all like middle-aged Mexican ladies that could speak, some of them could speak a bit of English. So it was just me and them. And then I ended up calling tickets there. So I have to call them all in Spanish. So I'd have to be like, uno pollo con papas, por favor. And they did not like me at all.
How did you get that job? Who else is applying for that job? You know what I mean?
It's like if you just can cook, like if you have worked in kitchens, right, it's just like, okay. Here we go, let's go, sure, let's go. Sure, sure. And my girlfriend had taught me this thing. It's like one of the funniest bits you can do is if she was driving past a construction site with just a bunch of Mexican dudes chilling out the front, she'd slow down and go, hola chismosos, which means hello gossipers. And they always just like burst out laughing. It's the best bit. And then anytime anyone came at me in the kitchen, I'd go, chismosos, chismosos. I knew like 7 words. And chismosos can really like, it helps so much. You just call gossipers. Middle-aged women yelling at you gossipers. They go,
Fuck yeah.
Sick. That rocks. Man, so you were always like, you were just living paycheck to paycheck effectively the whole time?
Yeah, for a while. For a while, it was real bad. But then I got back on my feet, and then I was living with with my girlfriend and her and a girl we knew as well. Like I was mates with as well, and that was like chill as. I had some money by the end. Oh, I was just way more comfortable. Like it was. Oh, and then I got a different kitchen job because I wanted to be able to talk to people, and that was real good. Those were my boys.
Chismos didn't go down
just,
as well.
Yeah, it was just a bunch of tall white dudes that listened to Come Town.
What's up, my people here?
See you guys at the mic later.
How good's Norm?
Were you getting big laughs at these shows? How were the shows?
Oh, the shows were fun, but you don't. I probably. Due to the breakup in the middle where I was kind of all fucked up. And then the Austin audiences, because all the bars and venues are so cool, you get like so much leeway. So I was fucking set up tagging out of this world, being like, and then I came back to Sydney and everyone's like, what cunt? It's just a bunch of like people in audience. Like, it is easier.
It's a good scene in terms of the crowds are pretty fucking ready to laugh.
Yeah, they're pretty fine. Like, it's like, I don't know, there are so many, it's just a middle out city. Yeah. And there are some really funny dudes, like, so good.
Yeah.
Michael Priest, I used to, I hung out with him a bunch. It was like I was in a group of four, basically. And we just go to diners afterwards and just go to the late night mic. And you can just chill and not drink in that city because it's just comfortable enough.
Mm.
And you just get high. But he was just doing high crowd work all the time in between, like, real good jokes. He'll just be like, yeah, trying to get back with an ex. Any of them will do. They all good.
That's great. That's fine.
So good.
Yeah. So then COVID's creeping up on this store. Is that because you said COVID?
I was back for like 4 months working before COVID came.
When you say back 4 months working, what do you mean?
In America. In Australia, sorry.
Oh,
I was back home for like 5 months. Then it was my exit date.
Gotcha.
And I was like one of those guys that was like leaving in 4 days. And I was like, leaving in 4 days. And everyone's like, no, you're not. Yeah, that's not happening. And I was like, oh, well, we'll see. And then one day I just came home and was like, oh, I don't think I can. But whatever. When I have money, I'll be back.
Yeah.
And also, it's just nice to have healthcare and shit again. Like, I was pretty tired by the end. I went to Mexico, but I was like real clinically depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, is it just exhaustion? Like, the country. Like, it's.
Well, it's just so. Like, here now, I am. It's just annoying not to just be like, you're just fucked.
Mm.
If you run out of money, it's just like, it's not good.
It is. It's like, it's you're dangling over like a fucking pit of sharks. There's no like little safety thing at all. Like, it scares the shit out of me whenever you go over to America and just how insane like your premiums are for a week's of worth of travel insurance. It's like the same price as the ticket sometimes. You're like, oh yeah, it's real fucked over there.
Yeah, if you like break your leg or do anything like that, like you're pretty rude, right?
But here's a trick that they do, your mates tell you, is that just no one ever pays their medical bills. They got no money.
So if you had a huge medical bill and then fucked off back to Australia, what can they do? Is that the point?
It's nothing. Even there, it's nothing.
Really?
Like, my mates had medical debt. That's a cool thing. It's like when people are like, I could never move to Sydney, it's so expensive. And you're like, get here and you'll work it out. Like, it's fine.
There,
it's just like, yeah, if you fucking break your leg, you'll owe them 20 grand, you won't pay it. And then they'll bring it down after a certain while and they'll keep trying to bring it down because they want you to pay it. And then they'll sell it to a private fucking debting company. And then you don't pay that. And in 7 years, your credit's back to normal. Who gives a fuck? And you're just like, yeah, fair enough.
Okay. Now that I've heard of this system, I'm back on board.
This is actually sounding pretty interesting.
The system works.
I'm sure for like, if you have ongoing, like you need ongoing
training.
Like it's an absolute fucking
diabetes or something.
Yeah. I went off antidepressants because I didn't want to go to the doctor and it was bad. That was mainly the end of it. I'm just like, damn, that was a bad idea. They actually were doing something, it turns out.
Fuck me. So you said you went to South by Southwest and there's all these like festivals and shit there, right? Like not just that, there's like, it's a big cultural hub, right?
It's just like a college town that's turned into a bigger city.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's just like, Australia like regulates small businesses like out of its ass. Like if you own a cafe And it's like, even a small cafe, you're like, legally, you need to have 3 toilets or some shit. It's like, no one in Texas, yeah, it doesn't give a fuck. You can just be a Mexican lady that sets up a gazebo with a barbecue outside of a bar, and people will be like, nice.
Yeah.
Let's fucking go.
And you can open a bar for like 10 grand there, but here, like, it's like 100 grand minimum just for licensing and shit.
Yeah, which is why then, and then it's like the type of people that open bars are just like very Merivale-y here.
Yeah. You have to have certain private school money to fucking even get going, basically.
Like the old comedy clubs on 6th Street, and then just one street up is Mugshots, the bar that all the comedians hung at. And then, and that's just like mainly just homeless people on the street on 7th Street. But Mugshots is there, and it's just like $3 beers, a pool table, real dark and nice outside, inside jukebox. And then outside, just like an enormous concrete patio with just chairs that you can move around. And we would like smoke cones out there, and he'd be like, fuck, just under the table, boys. Sorry, mate. Yeah, there's like big vines on either side, and you're like, this is so fucking chill.
Yeah.
This is so chill.
In Sydney, if like you're allowed to eat your food where someone else is smoking, you're like, this bar, then it's like, all right, don't, you know what I mean? Yeah, under the table, you're
so
like,
so chill.
Man, me and Billy did it. I don't know if Billy told you, but me and Billy did a gig in Wollongong recently, and I'm like, what's the address of this place? I was driving, and I'll Google it. And the first thing that comes up is an article, and I can't remember the name of the bar, but it was like a cafe that, and it was like the council have sent them a notice to shut down because they're a cafe that keeps putting on live music and comedy. And they're like, you need a live music entertainment license for that. And you guys are just a cafe. And they have been doing all weekend blues fest festivals and shit. And this guy, and I'm like, okay, this article is from 12 months ago. And I'm like, well, we're doing the gig tonight. Like, maybe there's been an update. No, they've just, guys have been resisting council shutting them down for 12 months. You look it up, and I'm like, is this even fucking open? And we get the sick gig, but it's just a guy who's got a fucking little, this is in Kiama, a little bar, and he's just got this room outside where it's like any cafe, like all the gigs we do comedy and they don't have like live entertainment licenses.
Yeah.
But this guy's just going like, bands, comedy.
Yeah.
He's going all out and it's sick. It's great. Yeah, but the council are like trying to take him to court to shut him down. He's going to have like this, like, you know, the castle style, like Supreme Court thing. And he's just resisting it. And it's
fuck off. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's also tips as well. Cause they want you to tip. So everyone's like, oh yeah, whatever. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Makes that's sense. Right. As long as you're not hurting anyone. And then also there's live music everywhere. Cause they don't have to like front $400 to a bloke. To play guitar in the corner. Someone will be like, I'm really good at guitar. Can I just set up there and make tips? And they're like, of course.
Yeah.
You're just being like plastic furniture, like just plastic chairs, $2 tequilas with live music, being like, what the fuck? This is so good.
This is unbelievable. Yeah. Open till 5 a.m. They're always open. So everything's, you know, there's no limit or anything. Like it is so much fun.
It just rocks.
Yeah.
I got a longish one, so I don't know if you want me to chuck it in the middle or towards the end, but it's and it's got a lot of history about like Austin sort of becoming a city.
Did you see the bridge, the Bat Bridge? Were you
there
for
that's
that?
Just like the main bridge, yeah.
But is it not a thing? Is it like because apparently
I'm from Sydney, like bats flew over my house every day when I was young. So right. I was like, whatever, these are smaller bats.
It's like, but the city make a big deal of it, right?
Yeah. I think it is a thing. Yeah,
it's a thing. Like it's that there's these bats that like infested this bridge, mm-hmm. and then it's like the biggest bat colony in the world, like
really?
Urban bat colony. They live in the bridge.
Yeah.
They remodeled the bridge. They redid it and they didn't realize that they left all these gaps underneath the bridge and the bats are like, fucking sick. This is like the sickest spot ever. So all these bats just live under it all day. There's 1.5 million bats living under just one bridge.
Jesus.
And then every night through parts of the year, they just like fly out and just flow. And in the 90s or the 80s or something, Austin were like, let's fucking knock these bats off. Let's, you know what I mean? Let's fumigate them. Let's kill them off. And then this guy like educated everyone. The bats are doing no harm. They're eating all these bugs. Let's embrace it. And then they just say, oh, fucking whatever. So it's just this huge thing. I didn't know if it was like a cultural event or not. But
no, I was pretty Australian with the Bat Bridge, to be fair. I was like, yeah, bitch ass. Where were bats? My bats are way bigger.
Yeah, they are tiny little bats. Tiny I've seen these bats. Things. I see there's a bat that comes to hit my place every now and then. It sits up in this and it's like a fucking small airplane. It's yeah, like he just he goes whoom, and it's, he's this fucking he's an enormous massive.
Fruit bats yeah. are enormous.
They're so fucking big.
They're very cool.
But yeah, I didn't know. They're, but they're like they embrace it as a big thing, and it's like tourists go to just see this fucking bat bullshit, you know. But you got some history.
Well, yeah, I got a little bit of history and about a bloke by the name of the Midnight Assassin.
He self-coined, I guess.
He and this kind of ties into like touristy stuff at the end, but he was literally the first American serial killer. In the sense that, like, he wasn't just a soldier who killed a lot of people. He killed for the love of killing.
The first one. Sick.
So this is in between 85 and 1885, not 1985, and 1886. Killed seven women and one man. And most of these victims were servants attacked in their quarters. So he was also known as the Servant Girl Annihilator. Which is fucking horrific.
Fuck.
And that's like,
I mean, that's a dope name.
But that's and he killed one bloke and that had to change his name.
That's how it worked? The dude was by accident, it turns out. But he was known by a bunch of names. And like Servant Girl Annihilator, like the media went absolutely mental for this because obviously it was selling a lot of papers. And that, of all the names, is like the most like salacious, I guess. But then there was like, so some guy, some reporter terms coins the term Servant Girl Annihilator, and this other reporter a bit later comes up with Intangible Nemesis. It's like fucking nerd. Fuck that name out.
Workshop that
and then like, and there was another one who came up with the Talented Sensationalist. I'm like, are you a fan of this?
And we got
work?
It right. We're at fucking we got it right. Servant Girl Annihilator.
But mostly he was known as the Midnight Assassin. He attacked and injured several others. And yeah, like I said, mostly these kind of servant women. And there was all these different suspects. It's obviously shook the town up. Over a dozen men ended up being arrested in connection with it. There were three murder trials of three different suspects, all of whom were claiming their innocence. There was like prominent politicians that were caught up in it, ruined their careers. And it kind of started because like there's a bit of just some background on Austin. Very few people had really heard of it. It was called Waterloo. Up until 1838, when this bloke, Mirabeau B. Lamar, who was the vice president of the newly formed Republic of Texas, stopped there during a buffalo hunt and was so impressed with its natural beauty that he reportedly exclaimed, "This will one day be the seat of future empire." And later that year, he was elected president of the Republic of Texas, and he announced that the whole future of Texas lays in westward expansion. He persuaded the Texas Congress to move the capital from Houston to this place, Waterloo. And he was like, this is it. This is the future, boys. But what he didn't really tell anyone was that Houston was named after his very like rival and predecessor as president, this dude called General Sam Houston. So he just hated him. He was like, let's get the capital over to my spot.
Good bit.
So he went and they put up these crude log buildings. They erected theirs, the governor's offices, started a newspaper, churches opened, all this stuff. And they renamed it from Waterloo to Austin in honor of this bloke, Stephen F. Austin, who's...
the Stone Cold.
And he was called... They called him the father of Texas. And then Sam Houston, upon hearing this, gets re-elected president in the next couple of years. And he's like, give me that shit back. So he tries to get... He sends a posse of men to steal the governor's thing and take it back to Houston.
It's like a fucking ball. It's a governor. What is that? How like, do you steal it back?
They went in to the offices. It says a group of his supporters came to Austin in the dead of night to take back the archives, the paperwork and all the machinery of government. But apparently a few of the town's devoted loyalists, an innkeeper named Angelina Eberly, fired a 6-pound cannon at the guys when they tried to take it. And then a bunch of other like gun-wielding Austinites recovered the archives, returned them to the Austin.
That's why you don't give up your guns.
Exactly,
right.
That's totally.
Fucking stand your ground shit.
But it was like I said, this was like a fucking nothing bumfuck town that had a population just after the Civil War ended, which is like 1865. Population was... just 3,500 residents, and there was basically no industry at all. They had one sawmill, but the only businesses that prospered were the saloons, the gambling dens. Apparently, at this time, the city directory lists 20 professional gamblers on their books. Like, that was their... just on the census.
Let's get some gamblers in, and then we'll figure out some doctors. And after that, let's start with it.
and the brothels, obviously, were huge back then as well. There's like all these stories about like the fence that surrounded the governor's mansion fell down and there was no money to put it back up. So there's like cows wandering around the garden just eating shit. But the whole town and Texas, the whole real area started to boom in 1880. And that year, the state legislature, they started getting all this tax money coming in, and they started, they were like, this is a boom town. And people were starting to go, like, we need some infrastructure here. That's when they built the University of Texas. And then I think a year later, 1881, they voted to build the massive state capitol building, which is still there, and it's fucking huge.
Yeah.
It looks sick. It's I think it's one of the biggest in the world. It's like this four-story Gothic-style building that would...
I think I've seen that. Yeah.
So it's 566 feet across, 289 feet long, 316 feet high, larger than the German Reichstag and the English Parliament buildings.
Sure.
Yeah. I back it. Yeah.
It's only chains.
It's bigger than the US Capitol. So
really?
Yeah. So they're like, well, Texas is bigger than you guys. They've always got that whole thing. Like,
yeah, everything before Texas was a state of the US, right?
Texas by this time was a state.
Oh, okay, right.
And you know how that whole campaign, I think it started in the 80s or 90s, like keep Austin weird.
Yeah.
That's they have that sort of reputation.
So gross.
But it kind of, like, just reading up on some of these people and the way it was, like, it just seems like Austin has always been kind of fucking kooky. So there's like characters that were mentioned. I should also say this came from a book, awesome book by this dude about this like serial killer called the Midnight Assassin. And he's like painting the picture of what Austin was like in 1800. So he goes, an Italian organ grinder named Bernzinzo performed.
Knowing a few Italian organ grinders, nightclubs around Sydney.
Performed with his monkey, which turned backflips. And a woman who called herself Madame Stanley, the gypsy fortune teller, offered customers the chance to sit at her table while she flipped tarot cards and unveiled their futures. And always walking the sidewalks was Professor Damos, an elderly, befuddled man who wore numerous tattered overcoats that flapped behind him like the tails of a kite, and who stopped behind the gas lamp post to deliver orations on such subjects as shipwrecks and the end of the world.
That guy's still there.
This, funnily enough, that dude would become one of like the hundreds of suspects. Then you had the black traveling acts that would come to Austin to entertain the residents. These guys have the fucking greatest names.
Globetrotters.
So we go. among them was a man who gave glass eating demonstrations, a man named Joe Slick who played the banjo, and a black cowboy who called himself Dick the Demon Negro, who wrestled steers to the ground, holding onto them with just his teeth.
What?
That's fucking badass.
The Demon Negro.
Wrestling a cow to the ground with just his teeth. And so, like, this is Austin. It's kind of a party town during this time, especially with the, like, upper echelons of society. This was an example of one of the parties that, like, a socialite had. It was called an onion sociable, held at the home of a young Austin socialite. And the socialite and five of her female friends went into a bedroom where one of the women took a bite of an onion, after which they all walked out into the parlor and were kissed by a young man who tried to guess who had onion breath. So that's the kind of party you get invited to.
That's a sick fucking party.
Yeah. But as it became sort of clear that the attacks, and I won't go into the attacks because they are fucking horrific, but people didn't realize it was the same guy, basically. It was like one happened and they were like, that's really fucked up. And they suspected her husband, as tends to be the case most of the time. Then it happened again and people were like, oof, there are a lot of similarities with that one. And he'd been arrested at the time or whatever, or he'd gone to trial. So people start freaking out, and some of these suggestions from the townsfolk about what they should do was great. One citizen suggested that every woman in Austin be given a large guard dog. It's just like rules.
Yeah. It's not bad.
Just the government issuing guard dogs. Another wanted the city to be lit with newly invented electric arc lights, arc lamps, so the killer would have no place to hide at night. So they wanted it to just be lit up 24/7. They just got this new marshal in town who everyone was like kind of they liked him because he was. Or they thought that he would be able to get the killer because he was a non-drinker and kind of a smart guy. So they were like, he'll know what to do.
It's so sick to be smart during that time. You just need to not be
drunk. You're not drinking all the time. Well,
to be known as a non-drinker.
Breath of fresh air.
He's the smartest cop we have. He doesn't drink drive ever.
But it helped because the previous marshal was, he used to get hammered and engage in what the newspapers at the time described as promiscuous shooting. So apparently one night he's at the opera and he drunkenly got up halfway through and started shooting because it was poorly staged.
Nice.
Yes, that rules. Just let it off.
Theatre dorks have guns.
Yeah. Eventually he was forced to resign as marshal after he killed a politician in a shootout in San Antonio. And he eventually himself was shot to death in a different gunfight in San Antonio. So these guys are just getting hammered on whiskey and fucking shooting each other.
Yeah.
But as you might imagine, in Texas, 20 years after the end of the Civil War, most of the suggestions and suspicions about who was responsible had a bit of a racial tinge to them, as you might imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So according to one rumor,
circulating
up and down the avenue, they thought it was a gang that was killing these people, and they thought it worked for a black labor union that had been trying to recruit the city's servant women to join and demand higher wages from their white employers. And the gang had been hired to kill and attack those women who wouldn't sign up. Which is the most like right wing fever dream?
Yeah. Well, were it's they like calling it a union, union a gang? Like, you know what I mean? It's like this fucking gang of hooligans.
Yeah. Like we're gonna call them the Central Park 18.
Yeah. But at least, like, as ridiculous as that sounds, at least he had some sort of logic to it. Then there was a few other guys who came up with an even more astonishing theory. They had concluded that some sort of mystical killing mania was sweeping over Austin's black neighborhoods. The way they saw it, the murder of Molly Smith had inflamed the bloodthirsty instinct of other young black men, leading them to commit similar murders of other black women.
Wow.
So, like, it's not a serial killer. It's a mystique.
It's an airborne virus yeah. that makes black guys mad.
And if that makes any listeners sad, don't worry. That racism just continued for another 150 years. yeah.
I didn't watch that away.
Yeah. It is.
That was in the 1980s.
Yeah, so that's an ongoing theory. Yeah.
the guy's going to trial next year.
120 years later, doctors were asked to, like, look over black men to see if they're psychopathic. Literally 120 years later.
It's just fucking insane. There was a city council meeting where someone who was a local business manager, he suggested that instead of hiring more police officers, the city should instead hire offer a $500 reward to anyone who shot a black man invading a servant's quarters. Oof. Doesn't matter who. Another bloke was like, he goes, why don't we get this dude, Alderman Radcliffe Platt. He goes, why don't we give guns to the servant women so they can shoot, you know, if they're under attack. And apparently...
That argument still changed. Literally does go every to this single day. Thing here,
but apparently...
It's like, well, why don't the teachers all just have guns? Yeah, yeah.
He said this and everyone erupts in laughter because women can't shoot. Like, it's like, you Platt, you fucking idiot.
That would be a fucking perfect plan if these Sheilas could shoot.
And like I said, they're arresting black men left and right. Trying to get them to confess. None of them do. None of them did it. One goes to trial, and that was the husband of the first woman who was killed. It was eventually dismissed for lack of evidence. But a great detail about the district attorney who was prosecuting all these cases, and he was trying to, like, get everyone to round up these guys. He was the mayor's little brother, and he was elected DA. And obviously there's a big push from the establishment. He's the mayor's brother. The mayor's giving him, like, you know, backing him and everything.
Yep.
But then here's a direct quote. It didn't hurt his campaign when the incumbent district attorney, James Sheeks, had decided to withdraw from the race after he was arrested for drunkenly driving his carriage too fast along Congress Avenue and making crude remarks at women. So this is the caliber of the politicians that we've got around here. The mayor gets fucking desperate as he hires the most famous private detective agency in the country to investigate. They're called the Pinkerton brothers, William and Robert Pinkerton. They live in Chicago. The mayor looks up Pinkerton & Co. in the phone book. He arranges for him to come down and offers
him
a lot of money.
They have Australian roots, the Pinkertons.
Is that real?
Yeah, because I was doing research for another episode and I was going to do the Pinkerton brothers guy.
Oh, cool. Okay, like we can save that for a future.
Somewhere around Queensland, I think.
Mm. Cool.
Nice.
So these Pinkerton brothers.
It's not just a good Weezer album.
It's a great Weezer album. And the mayor's like, all right. You know, they're coming here. We've got these detectives. We're going to give them a shitload of money. The detectives get off the train and the mayor meets them in some random dude shop. And the mayor's like, so you fellas, you work for the Pinkerton brothers, huh? And they're like, what brothers? And he's like, we work for Matt Pinkerton. So it turns out this dude called Matt Pinkerton was completely unrelated to the famous Pinkerton. He worked for them as a night watchman before being fired for incompetence and then just set his own agency up with the same name. And in true, like, this is fucking Dante straight down the line, he would hire people who took his detective course, which was just him charging an exorbitant fee for a certificate of membership, a Pinkerton badge, and a letter from him saying that they could be detectives.
That's so cool.
There's so many insane details in this story. And as I said earlier, there's a fair few suspects, some more reasonable than others. But one of the most interesting little like threads of the story comes from this one suspect who was a Malaysian chef named Maurice, who was said to wander the streets at night just completely shit-faced drunk after finishing his shifts. And he had a bit of a reputation as a nutter, and he could be a little violent with people. So they were like, this might be the guy, right? So apparently the last two women who were murdered were the only white women who were actually killed. A lot were attacked, but these two were killed, and they weren't servants. They were like upper-class women, and that kind of... that was like, obviously the police went even doubling down because like there were black servants and like, it was probably a gang of black youths. Yeah, now they're like, oh sure. Shit. All right. So this Maurice guy comes up and a couple of weeks after the last two murders, which was on Christmas Eve, 1886, he apparently told someone that he was going to go to Galveston to find a job on a steamship to England. So he fucks off. He leaves Austin's, never heard from again in there. But in 1888, in England, who starts murdering women in a very Jack similar... Ripper. That's it.
Oh.
So at the time, all the papers are going, this fucking Austin Midnight Assassin is Jack the Ripper. Everyone thinks this theory is like Sick. The going theory. That's the same bloke. Mm. So this is, again, a quote from the book. One afternoon, a detective talked to an English sailor by the name of Dodge, who said he'd recently gone to have a drink at the...
Trustworthy man, if there ever was one.
He'd gone to have a drink at the Queen's Music Hall, a working class pub. There he encountered a man of about 5'7" in height, 130 pounds in weight, and apparently 35 years of age, who was a native of Malaysia. According to Dodge, the Malay said he'd been working as a cook on steamers that came in and out of English ports, and that recently he had been robbed by a woman of bad character in Whitechapel. The man had said that unless he found the woman and recovered his money, he would murder and mutilate every Whitechapel woman he met. So, like, everyone's like, the press is going absolutely mental. They love the angle. They love the connection. Papers are fucking flying off the shelves.
Dodge wouldn't tell a tall tale.
Dodge wouldn't spin it up. Dodge was the only guy who apparently saw this Malaysian fella. But you start getting other things pop up. Like there's a famous report in the New York Sun. Story appears about six women who apparently have been murdered in Nicaragua over 10 days. And they're like, they're described in detail of like this very similar things to what happened to the bodies, etc. And people are going out of their fucking mind. Like this is like the best selling newspaper round like of the, yeah. basically the year or the decade really. And then slight issue with the story, the editors of the New York Sun made it up to sell more papers.
Fuck. Oh, hell yeah.
Just whole cloth invented it.
It's the opinion section.
The legacy, like don't want to go on forever, but the legacy that kind of brings it around these tourist attractions is that, you know how there was like suggestions of giving women a guard dog or putting up giant fucking lights and keeping it on? They actually did erect these giant lights that would keep the place lit up 24/7, and 15 of them survived. They're called Moonlight Towers. They're still in Austin.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And they come, like, I think in the 70s, they listed them as like a historical thing. But the whole reason they're there is because of this fucking Midnight Assassin. Yeah.
Are they still there?
Yeah.
It's a comedy festival named after them.
Moon Tower, right? True. Yeah. Moon Tower Comedy Festival. Okay. All because of this fucking psychopath.
So they don't know who it was.
They've never been solved. There's like
it's the same as Jack the Ripper.
But
theories, but no soul.
He was like, it was weird. Like the way he would get in and out was freakish. Only two people ever saw him. And one person, there were all these descriptions. One person was like, he was wearing a dress. One person who saw him said, it was a little kid who said he thought he was white. Another person saw him and said he thought he was black, but he would wear face coverings and would just like had an uncanny ability to, like at one time he committed two murders on one night and was like, people were there, like crowds were there and he was like flitting in and out and like could get blend into a crowd. Yeah. Like he was just psycho.
Two on one night.
Yeah,
bang, bang. He's a
gig. But yeah, that's him, the Midnight Assassin, baby.
Fuck, man. Bit of fucking Austin history, eh? The only other thing I wanted to bring up was...
a hilarious review of a local bar.
Yeah. 3 stars at McDonald's there in Austin. Now, do you have any other stories you want to tell? Or any other things you want to mention? Any weirdos that were there, local fucking nutbags?
Yeah, one of the best things about Austin is that like most people have moved there. So it's like heaps easy to make friends.
Because everyone... Yeah, right.
Everyone's a trip. Most, like, I knew like three people that... of my mates that were actually like from Austin and they were all siblings. So like those are the only,
yeah.
Cause it's like the only
Pinkenham brothers.
It's the only liberal town in like so many conservative cities.
Yeah,
so it's right. Like the closest one for so many people. And you don't want to move, like, in the movies, it's like, I'm moving to LA. And it's like, unless you have a shit ton of money in America, do not leave that far from where you're from.
Yeah, you got to be driving distance to home.
And because of that, there is, like, a lot of dudes who were clearly a loser, then, like, bought a leather jacket and drove to Austin, was like, Mr. Cool's here. Yeah. Dude, shut the fuck up.
Mr. Cool. Fuck yeah. That was Kirk at 28.
Yeah, I was going to say. When I tried on that leather jacket in Austin, I did feel so powerful. I felt I lasted 2 seconds more on the mechanical bull wearing my leather hog.
We ever tempted to buy like a Stetson and go full cowboy?
Go full cowboy? Nah, I was under the radar, hey. I was not walking. I was not being a man that is not from America wearing a cowboy hat. Some of my mates would just casually just wear cowboy boots. They're just like...
Oh, Drew would be a cowboy guy.
Drew would have fucking steers on, like his stirrups on the back of his boots.
Just like a stoned 5'5" man with eczema wearing cowboy boots. And like,
yeah, that's what we're doing. We're talking about Drew. Have you met Drew?
Riding around on my Shetland pony.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, so it's just like... it's pretty wild now, right? Like there's like a lot of... Like homeless and a lot of comedy on. Like it seems like it's just like well, there was it must be such a
big overlap between those two groups.
Yeah, that's true.
There was already heaps of homeless, and tech was already moving their heaps as well because it's tax shit. That's also why there's a comedy club in Austin, and why all these like multi-millionaire comedians are like, man, LA, it's crazy. Yeah. there's no state tax. Shut up. could one person just put their hands up and be like, tax, it's tax.
It's just all tax.
Shane Gillis did that. He was like, tax, it's tax. Yeah. It's 100% tax.
Yeah. Yes. Especially if you're like, I mean, Rogan, like he can just do his pod anywhere. In fact, people come to him. So it's like, yeah, you're making like hundreds of million dollars. Why would you?
Yeah. And then he's opened that club or whatever.
Yeah. And he runs that like real, like he pays comedians like the best in the world for spots. Like,
yeah, I'm sure he's. Yeah,
it's crazy. Like it's just like a non-for-profit comedy club.
Yeah.
Like it was so funny. This Newcastle comedian told me he was hanging out with some door guy at the Mothership, and he's like, "Oh, I know an Australian. Do you know Rowan O'Neill?" And he's
really?
He heard, "Do you know?" And he was like, "Come on, mate." And then he was like, "Oh, I do know that guy."
Is that Bobby?
The
Newey guy?
No, I forgot his name. He was in Canberra before.
Oh, okay.
Bradley Bishop.
Oh, okay, I don't know.
One of my guys I know, who's the funniest dude. He's this chill-ass black dude that is doing spots there now. And he was a bus driver when I was there, but he got a job being a doorman at the thing. And he used to have this joke that was like, he was living in his van for a bit. And he was like, I got all these ants in my van. I want to get rid of them. I bought this ant killer. And then I was reading the back and it was like lavender, all these other like herbs. And it's like, I'm not trying to fuck these ants. I think about that joke like every 3 weeks. I think I'm not trying to fuck these ants.
That's really funny. That rules. The only other thing I had was the bridge, because the bridge is called, sorry to keep harping on that.
Yeah, we're going back to the bats.
No, it's not the bats. It's just, it's named after Ann Richards. Do you guys know, have you heard of Ann Richards?
No.
She's like this, like, fucking she was the last Democratic governor of Texas, and she's like hilarious. Like she got famous because she went to the 88 Democratic National Convention and was just crushing with bits whole time. She's got all these sick one-liners, but I just love it because like they're very political one-liners, but they're like, you watch a video and she's like, yeah, Trump is like genuinely funny in those moments. Like she's just got comedic instincts. So, you know, it's not like they're like, other politicians will have like a witty one-liner when they're clearly just reading off something, but she's crushing, but she's just got all these great lines. This is about George H.W. And she's ragging on him of being like a rich boy the whole time. And he's just like, he's not a real Texan. And and she's like, poor George, he can't help it. He was born with a silver foot in his mouth, you know? It's like, she's got this great, and she's got, this is what she looked like. She had some iconic like hair, and she looked real iconic.
Oh, yes.
And she's got these lines like, I get a lot of cracks about my hair, mostly from men who don't have any, which is great. She's got this fucking unreal line about George, again about George H.W., where she's like, he was born on third base and he thinks he hit a triple, which is like, how good is that? Such a great line.
That's
such a great line. And she's got she's doing all this, and she was like a real, like, you know, when you think, okay, female governor of Texas, she would be like a fucking right wing you know, who am I thinking of, like Sarah Palin-esque.
Yeah.
No, she was like pretty left wing, like she was pretty and she's very much a feminist of the time, but she's like had all these great lines. She's like, women can do anything men can do. She's like, Ginger Rogers did all the same dance moves as Fred Astaire. She just did them backwards in high heels. Like, she's got like sick lines. And I love it because, you know, and then Texas was turning red hardcore. Mm. And she went for the 1990 governorship. So she hadn't even won governor at this point. They just put her on the convention because she was hilarious and she was like a lieutenant governor or something. But she went up against this guy. She competed in the 1990 Texas governorship against a guy called Clayton Williams. And is exactly who he sounds like. Is a man who was, he projected an image of a cowboy figure who had risen from humble roots to become a powerful business tycoon.
Yeah.
So he's just like the most iconic, exactly what you think. And he was beating her in the race for ages. And then he had two public missteps. First one, he refused to shake her hand at a public debate, which is a bit seen as uncouth. But then this is one of the, like, this is, so she's funny. She's got all these witty lines. And this is what he comes out with. He there was a public misstep when he made an infamous joke to reporters likening the crime of rape to bad weather, having quipped, "If it's inevitable, just relax and enjoy it."
Jesus Christ.
And so she won by 2%. So like, even after that, she only snuck home. That's the most unreal thing ever. So she was governor for a year, and she also guest starred as herself on King of the Hill. And she dates Bill for a while in the episode.
That's sick.
It's so good. But I was like, who's this chick? And I got into him like, this, she fucking rules. Yeah, but yeah, she was like a legend of Texas to that. And she was like heaps involved in all the Texas like film. There's apparently a burgeoning film scene. Mm. And she emceed every Texas, like the Academy Awards of Texas for 10 years. She emceed every single one.
That's sick.
Yeah, she rules. Ann Richards.
All right.
Should we wrap the last two?
Yeah, final two questions. Rowan, if someone says, I'm coming to Austin and I need an itinerary, something to do morning, afternoon, and night, what do you tell them to do? Where do you tell them to go?
Morning, you go have some like breakfast tacos from like anywhere. Like it can be a gas station, it doesn't matter. They're still good. Then you go to the river, chill. And then you want to start drinking at like midday. You want to go to this place by Barton Springs. I forgot its name, but you can get this purple margarita in this big chalice for like, I don't know, $6, and you're only legally allowed one. They say legally. It's all Everclear. Like it's like just rubbing alcohol and sugar. It's the sickest thing ever.
Yeah.
And then just go East Austin and just fucking chill, bounce about, go to a Mexican bar, have a dude throw a bunch of cash on the pool table and be like, come on, bro. And you go, I'm not playing. They'd always try and show off in front of my girlfriend. I'd be like, bro, I'm not playing your pool, bro. He's like, come on, bro. Just cash. He's like, come on. Mexican dudes love a tall dude as well. They'll be like, oh.
Yeah. Pretty cool, ain't it? Chop you down to size.
Yeah, that's see it. Some live music. Fucking, this is honestly... There's not that much to do except go to the river and get drunk.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of it. Just good. Keep eating tacos.
It's a good day.
Man. Yeah, that's an awesome day. And the last question is, Rowan, you've ascended to the highest heights of comedy. You've made millions of dollars. You've done everything you want to do.
And you don't want to pay tax anymore.
You don't want to pay tax anymore. When all is said and done, would you settle down in Austin?
Fuck no. Nah. Maybe if I was like, I could... Nah, bro, it's so humid and you can't surf and it's getting it like snows. Like, fuck off. Sydney City always. Like, I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be in Sydney. The reason Sydney sucks is if you're poor in it. If you're rich, fuck that. Like, I'll go snorkeling every day.
That's it.
You know, getting the muddy fucking Colorado River. Jesus Christ.
$30 rump steaks on a Monday. Let's do it, you know, with a beer purchase.
Yep. The old pints for schooner prices. Our schooners cost $18, by the way.
It's like, if money is no option, Sydney, baby. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, true.
Do you have any shows coming up that you want to plug? You're doing Melbourne.
Yeah, I'm doing Melbourne. It's a very funny show. Good gear. 7 o'clock.
Rowan's right after me, so if you're coming to my shows, just hang around and catch Rowan. So you're at 7, right?
Yeah, I'm at 7.
At the same venue, right after me.
Same venue.
Pretty much the same run, I think.
Yeah, like, just slightly better time by like an hour.
Well, you've been laughed out after my show, if you don't have to go.
Come to Alex's, come to mine.
What's the show called and where is it?
Dove Club. Mate, just fucking Google Rowan O'Neill. Top of the food chain. Oh, that name actually came from when I was like, had no money in Austin and was, my girlfriend was making more money than me. And I just kept getting high and watching like The Late Show with Seth Meyers as a bit, I would just be like, babe, come in here. He just said the funniest thing about Trump. You got to get this. And she'd just be like, shut up. And I'd be like, I'm a fucking provider. I provide. I'm top of the food chain, babe. I was making like $300 a week being like, I'm top of the food chain.
And you guys broke up?
No, that was the one where we stayed together for quite a long time, actually. But eventually, yes. Thank
Finally
you.
Finally, you did those.
Eventually, yes.
Oh, fuck.
All right, thanks for having me, boys.
Yeah, mate.
Go see Ron. We got a Patreon. You can pay $5 for bonus episodes twice a month. They're very good. We're going to make Jack eat 100 oysters in an hour. He's up for it. He's agreed to it. He thinks he can do it in 10 minutes. Find out what happens by chucking us $5. We'll see you next week, Ron. Thanks for coming, man.
Thanks, buddy.
See you next week.